This is the hour. We're going to take your phone calls with reporter Linda Moulton Howe, and that's all next on Coast to Coast AM. Linda, with these strange sounds, let's rattle off some possibilities, okay? Let's make a little list for a moment. You go first.
Well, let's see. We'll go, it could be in some of the instances seismic.
Okay.
There could be a release of energy, but a lot of people say it might be infrasonic, and that is below human hearing, just exactly as is the problem with the gravity acoustic waves. They're also infrasonic. They would be below the 20 decibel hearing range. And so you've got the upper atmosphere and the sun. That doesn't seem to hold water. Possibly something happening below the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into this difficult category of, we'll call it the divine field.
Yeah, the very strange, the supernatural. It's really strange.
Well, but I meant in the context of the ancient Old Testament and New Testament, it is so odd, George, that people go to church and read the Bible and all of this, but when it comes to being able to talk about Revelation, which is the very strange story about an alleged future of the earth,
that's right,
that involves seven angels unnamed who blow
trumpets.
Trumpet at the beginning of various stages of earth destruction leading up to the return of Christ that will be related to the rising up of all who have died before that moment. These are almost impossible concepts for the human mind, and yet that is what so many people who have written to me, as well as the people from Tennessee who I focused on, and Kansas, they thought, especially Will Smith and Cindy Smith, unrelated, but they thought of Revelation. So we have this big, huge body of religious literature around the world that is tied with all of these, we would call them mystical, magical, incredible events. But when something like these strange sounds, including Kiev, Ukraine, start going out on the modern internet in digital audio, what happens? You start getting attacked
and everything.
Hoax.
Yep.
So then we come to this other big category, government purposeful microwave carrier waves being tested on the human population in the northern and the southern hemispheres for reasons unknown outside of the insights from the DARPA program having to do with battlefield illusion that was announced only in the last week or so.
All right, so seismic, let's throw in, let's call it biblical, for lack of a better phrase. What about man doing it as a false flag to trick us about some impending event?
Well, that's what I just was
saying. That's how you're saying
it. The government.
Government agencies
would be using microwaves with carrier signals aimed at people specifically with the whole goal of testing whether they could accomplish.
No, that to me is not a false flag. That to me is a non-lethal weapon, which is very possible. But I mean, false flag to me would mean they're doing it to fake an invasion, let's say, of UFOs or something like that.
Well, that could be a motive for why this testing would be going on. I mean, then you go to motive, the issue of whether or not governments could be using microwaves with carrier wave signals aimed at people. Whatever the motive would be, it could be because they want to see if they can get away with a red flag and manipulate humans all over the planet. But then, also in the back of my mind, are the interviews from 2011 that I did with those five different men. One of them at Earth Files is the Joshua Reinhall 12-part series that's quite incredible with the detective in Washington. And the others, five men last year who all said that they, in their encounter, their interaction with non-human intelligences, that they have all been shown a moment coming up in which there will be a literal, physical, cosmic overlay of dimensions as part of a natural, if you want to call it cycle, a natural cycle that occurs in the cosmos that humans have never been witness to before, and that when dimensions, for whatever is the cosmic reason, come to an overlay, that during that period of time, there can be an exchange of matter, sound, life, everything, and that it might also, now let's just try to deal with the difficult issues that are in the New Testament, in Revelation, that a moment would come where you and I could be standing on a street corner and you disappear. And I don't know what's happened to you.
Where'd you go? You there?
Yeah, I'm here. All I did was clap my hand and it sounded like an echo. I don't know.
Now you're back again.
Our friendly taps or something. That you would disappear and I would be standing there and I would not know where you had gone. That is the, some people call it the rapture, and there are a lot of different names for it. Again, I'm quoting from what is in the Revelation in the New Testament. Now, I don't fully understand why we should keep so separate our ability to discuss what's in that complex book and look through that lens at what is happening on this planet at any given time, but I understand that it can offend some people. So I'm trying to be careful. I'm only trying to raise these questions that if there is something like a dimensional overlap, that it may be that all of the controversial and difficult material was because some kind of intelligence 2,000 years ago was trying to describe something that was incomprehensible to the human mind then. And if timelines and time travel and dimensional overlays are difficult for this modern 21st century human mind, then I think that is the context with which we can say we may be coming up against natural cosmic cycles and phenomena that we really have no template for, we have no context for, and that sounds, whether they're musical or like old television signals, wouldn't it be interesting that SETI has been sending out signals into space for how long, trying to see if we could get back any kind of information or signal from something else? And how long have we been sending out TV signals?
Oh, my gosh, years.
The end of the 40s into the early 50s?
Yep.
Well, what if...
It's coming back.
Somebody says, well, let's just send it back to
them. Yeah, send them trumpet sounds.
Or the old TV signals might actually literally be garbled old TV signals being batted back to Earth from something else.
Could you say, Linda, beyond a shadow of a doubt, then we'll take some calls here. They're lining up for you. Beyond at least whatever they're hearing, it's not their imagination. It's, something's going on. Can you say that?
Yeah, because how could Will Smith have hair rising on his head and his arms if he wasn't in the presence of some kind of an electrostatic field that he links with the presence of the loud trumpet horn sounds in Olive Branch, Mississippi? And that was only January. This was a month ago.
Well, then let me review these possibilities. Seismic, biblical, man doing it as a false flag to trick us for some reason, maybe a weapons test, ET possibilities, there's a mothership hovering above us, who knows, and then something cosmic.
Dimensional overlays.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Julie, first of all, and Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Oh, my gosh. Hi, Julie. Go ahead.
Hi. In relation to this sound, I have been hearing that, like, a room full of people talking or a TV for a while now, but something else related to that peculiar happened to myself and two other friends.
What happened?
This was either the last week in December or the first week in January. I know it was in the week of a new moon, and when we had one of those first sun flares that mm-hmm. was fairly large.
Sure.
Anyway, I was going to bed one night. It was late. My husband was already in bed. I was just ready to get into bed, and suddenly I had this dizzy spell where the room was spinning, and it was all going clockwise. This must have lasted 20 seconds. Well, it scared the bejeebus out of me. I thought, oh, my God, I got a brain tumor.
Or something, sure.
Well, then the next day I call my friend who lives on the other side of town. And another friend happened to be with her at the time. And they both related that they had the same experience that I did.
That's a good. What you witnesses who've done what you did.
And I can tell you that I had a call a couple of weeks ago from, a male who asked me if I had been getting any reports from people feeling like they were spinning or going to faint because the male had been experiencing that and other people had been experiencing that. And I don't know how many people listening, but it would be very interesting to know if there is something affecting people's stability or balance.
Yeah, their equilibrium's off, something going on. To me, that sounds like something's going on with the planet, with its rotation.
Well, and why would those beautiful dolphins have an unprecedented stranding in this last 4 weeks?
You're right. There's that tie-in as well. Next up, Bob's in Seattle, and he's on the air. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, I actually heard of these horn sounds in 1981.
Really?
In the suburbs of Chicago. And the sounds, it was horns, but it was mixed in with something similar to a Tibetan bells, Tibetan gongs, but it was music.
Did you hear it with other people?
No, I didn't.
You just heard it by yourself?
Just by myself in 1981, and I've heard it three other times up here in the Pacific Northwest.
And what went through your mind?
Well, first thing I did was started ruling out what it could not be of. Started ruling out the fact that it could not be somebody making a sound from elsewhere because there was nobody in the vicinity.
Like some store beaming it or something. You had the rule all
that. Beaming makes sense. Beaming actually makes sense, but this was a beautiful sound. It wasn't religiously beautiful. I'm not a religious person.
But very harmonic.
Very, very harmonic. And I've heard it three other times up here, and all those three other times in the last 2 years.
Hmm.
Could this planet, Linda, you know, we've theorized, for example, about crop formations, that maybe the planet's trying to communicate and it's doing these things. Could the planet be making these sounds, not seismically, not like that, not shifting plates or anything, but could it be doing it because it's a live organism? Maybe it's groaning? Who knows?
Well, I mean, you're describing the Gaia theory, but it seems to me that it's more likely to have something to do with multiple dimensions, which quantum physics today says, as superstring theory says, we have to be in a universe of 11 dimensions. And we only live in 3 XYZ axis with time as the fourth, completely oblivious to 7 other dimensions, which are supposed to be firmly woven into the fabric of this cosmos. And if we are that ignorant about how actually the universe works, I'm talking about just the way it's made, then it could be for thousands of years that there have been all kinds of oddities about sounds and lights and all sorts of things that could relate to, what do you call them, time slips, overlaying dimensions, all kinds of things that we don't even have a vocabulary for yet, and that there's the extraterrestrial biological entity aspect, and that would be intelligences in this 13.7 billion year old universe, like we are a life form, they would be a life form. But it's very possible that there could be other dimensional
intelligences, and we're all separated, and this is sort of ironic, we would be separated by frequency, and that when frequencies would overlap may be when some of this phenomena occurs.
Next up, we go to Shirley in Portland, Oregon. Shirley, take it away and welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you, George. I am thinking, since I had come down with Morgellons disease, which I know it has, I've been very sensitive to sound. And since these noises have been happening, it's debilitating to me. It was really working up last Friday and turned into where I thought I was going to have to call 911. My heart was racing so badly.
What are you hearing?
Excuse me?
What are you hearing?
Well, the very first noise that you made, that you played, was the trumpet sound. And I was typing, and I my brain just froze. It just froze. I mean, I couldn't even remember what I was typing. It was just like, and that's what it does to me. I can't do anything but pace back and forth. And I'm thinking that because I also have a very, very strong reaction to when the chemtrails are being sprayed. I can't breathe. It's burning, and it's I try to consciously take deep breaths, but it's impossible. I cannot do it. And I know when, because sometimes the noises are a background noise, you know, kind of a white noise, and you can't hear it. And I don't know why I'm getting all agitated and upset. And then I hear going to the bathroom or something, and I hear it through the vent, which is metal. Then I hear the, you know, low plane noise.
Well, the one thing that I can say is we are 7 billion consciousnesses and bodies on this planet, in which we're all in a bell-shaped curve. If you talk about a bell-shaped curve medically and genetically, we are all different with a large similarity, but some people are so much more sensitive than others to a lot of things on both ends of the bell-shaped curve. And depending upon how much more toxicity is added to the planet, clearly humans, as well as honeybees and bats, and the list is endless, and the dolphins, are being affected by pollutions of a myriad type on this planet now. And so we have a multi-layered stew of so many earth changes, toxins, climate changes, as well as, George, I think that it is a certainty that we are close to discovering planets like Earth, in which there will be oceans. This one that they have found is sort of a steamy planet, but that we will find another planet, and then there will be the 3-inch headlines eventually around the world that life has been discovered on another planet, whether it's Mars or someplace else. And then finally, that leverage point will open up, that it will be perfectly politically correct to talk about other life in this universe, and that will be the absolute major revolution this planet needs to get back on some kind of a reasonable track with the truth in this cosmos.
That may be true, Linda, and we will come back in a moment. We'll take final phone calls with Linda Moulton Howe right here on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines on our next Coast to Coast program. Ian Punnett manning the old microphone for me as I jet out of town for a little bit, but I shall be back on Monday. And we'll come back in a moment with final calls with Linda Moulton Howe right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Linda Moulton Howe. Linda, I'm getting flooded emails about these hums everywhere, everywhere.
Yes. Hums is a completely different phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
This is not hum.
This is the music sound.
Acoustic sounds,
yeah,
of varying kinds, musical and not. And I thought I'd share a couple of things from email during the break. This was the Orange County Register tonight, what was the night of the 23rd, and it was put out on their website. Seawater whipped into a froth off the Orange County coast Thursday, as some 2,000 common dolphins massed around a whale-watching tour boat, charging forward with the boat at high speed. And they're saying that this happens every once in a while, but 2,000 common dolphins.
Can you believe that?
Massing.
Huge.
We're at the other end of the country now from Cape Cod. We're in Orange County, off the coast in Orange County, California. And again, you could say, are the common dolphins agitated by something on the planet? And now here is what I consider to be a refreshingly intelligent thought from Earth Files email. It says, Linda, I wonder if the strange sounds heard presently around the world could be generated from the circular-shaped appendages we all observed on the Dragonfly drone craft caught on camera. And he says the past few years, it was only May and June of 2007. Some of the craft pictured on your website even have multiple circular appendages. And the craft are supposed to be cloaked. They can go invisible and flicker in and out in normal flight, so the source of the sound would not be observable. In other words, it could be non-human or any kind of craft that can be invisible in the skies generating sounds, and we wouldn't see the source, but it might be omnidirectional and might be from above, why everybody looks up. That might not explain the omnidirectional part of the experience, but the round appendages look like speaker surrounds of some kind, or if the sounds are directed microwaves, a round device might be a logical generating device. Multiple surrounds could generate different combinations of sound, and the tall bent wire protrusions on some of the craft look like they could be tuning forks of some kind. So further, if someone were right under the craft, their hair might stand up during this, because people have said in their when they were close to the Dragonfly drones that the hair rose on their skin and that they felt that they were in the presence of an electrostatic field. I just think it's interesting that is to me a substantial phenomena. The Dragonfly drones that can go invisible and have the strange symbols that have been linked to the Palo Alto leaked documents of working with extraterrestrial technologies that are self-activating software for self-activating machines for intelligence that are not terrestrial. And this is perhaps a piece that we should all consider when we think about these sounds being generated as a test from something that is invisible in the sky, perhaps all of the time, and only now is emitting these strange sounds.
Okay, back to the calls we go. Let's go to St. Louis. Chris is with us, east of the Rockies. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Chris.
Tonight?
Thanks.
I had a theory that I think I might be able to explain at least the Kiev sounds and maybe a couple of the other videos. Have either of you heard of a movie called Red State?
Oh, I've listened and looked at that trailer. There are only two or three notes. They are nothing, zero, like the Kiev, Ukraine.
Really? Okay.
No.
I saw that movie last night, and I remember watching those videos on YouTube, and I thought, you know, maybe some people were, you know, influenced by that movie to try and pull a fast one on.
That Red State is like a red herring thrown in the middle of all of this to deflect public opinion. It's nothing like Kiev.
Okay. All right. That's all I wanted to know. Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome. Next up, Stephen in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Stephen, go ahead.
Hello. Good morning.
Hey.
When you guys were talking about the overlapping of the possible existences and
dimensions.
Dimensions. It kind of makes me think of some reports where people would they might feel like a magnetic disturbance, and then the next thing they know, they're seeing like people with horses and wagons, and
right.
Then maybe the timeline veil is thin, and that maybe some of these sounds could be coming through from another time, like an old TV set, or maybe a cafeteria full of people talking, or a sports event from a long time ago, or something.
Yeah, they're called time slips. And one of the most interesting I heard about when I was touring the Louvre in France a few years ago, and it was a security guard. We got to talking, and I was asking about the gardens and various things, and he said there's a very unusual story that a lot of people don't know that was two American women in the early 1900s who were touring the Louvre, and they came to one of the security guards and said, can you tell us about that beautiful bridge that is over the lake in the back? We stood there, and we were so enamored by the elegance and beauty of the water under the bridge and the arc. And the security guard said, ma'am, there is no bridge or lake in the back. And the woman said, with her friend there, there were two of them, said, well, we just came from there. We were up on the bridge, and we were admiring the lake. And the security guard argued with them and said that that was impossible. It didn't exist. Well, within a year of that event, the security guard talking to me said they were doing some renovation on a part of the Louvre, and inside behind the walls that they were taking out for the renovation, they found a curled-up architectural plan that had been stuck inside of some of the bricks. And they opened it up, and it was signed by the original, it was Wren or Lamb of the Louvre, and it had a bridge that arched over a lake in the original old drawing that had been done by the original architect. And the security guard said to me, it's peculiar, isn't it? Is it possible that even ideas take on realities in other timelines, and every once in a while they cross or loop or snarl, and we get these moments where those two ladies insisted they stood on a bridge over a lake that in the timeline that we know now doesn't exist, but it existed in the original architectural drawing.
Okay, next up, let's go to Fort Collins, Colorado. Janet, first-time caller. Hi, Janet. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm so happy to talk to both of you. I've been listening from KOA for about a month.
Sure.
And right before I started listening, January 12th, 13th, and 14th, I was hearing these odd sounds. And I called my mom and told her about them. She said, honey, I haven't heard them. She's about 45 miles away. Nobody I've spoken to in the area has heard them.
What are you hearing?
Well, it's funny. They sound identical to the Dunkirk, New York ones. And to me, it sounded like, when I first heard it, I thought it was a snowplow on dry ground. It was just scraping almost sound, but there was no snow on the ground. This was 3:30 in the morning. Couldn't figure out why that would be happening at that time. But I heard it the next two nights in a row. And then I didn't hear anything, and then I started hearing about it on your show, George, the next week. I about fell out of my shoes when I learned all these other people were reporting these odd sounds.
Synchronicity.
So I started interesting about Dunkirk, New York, is it starts with that white scraping sound that, uh-huh, as you listen to the whole Dunkirk, New York video, it then keeps evolving and refining,
right,
into the Kiev-like sound, but it's not as beautiful as Kiev. It's rougher, and it is more metallic.
Right, and that's what I heard again in February, February 10th and 11th, and I was actually able to record at that time. I've kept my camera handy just in case I heard them again. After finding all these videos on YouTube and after hearing it discussed on George's show, I was just blown away that people all around the world were hearing these sounds.
Right.
And I recorded them, and they were, unfortunately, very quiet on my camera. But they were the same sounds I heard back in January. And I'm pretty open-minded, although sometimes I kind of poo-poo some of the theories out there. But I'll tell you, my hair stood up on my arms and the back of my neck, and I don't know that it was an electromagnetic interference. To me, it was just plain fear, honestly. When I first heard those sounds, it scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, well,
blood run cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody has that sense of something that makes them afraid.
It's very scary to hear in person. And I tried to tell my son and my husband about it, and they looked at me like, uh-huh.
But staying up too late.
I mean, seriously, this is, to me, has been the persistent puzzle. Why are you hearing it and others are not?
Well, and what's, I'm up late. I stay out in my garage and I do my graphic design stuff out here. It's just one way I can stay awake and not keep, you know, the others in the household up, you know, turn on the radio, whatever. You can barely hear it in the house, although my dog heard it, and she was growling very low all night the first night. She kept hearing them.
Huh.
She didn't hear them in February, but she did hear them those three nights in a row in January. It's just, it's very strange, and I'm glad to have Coast to Coast talking about this, because it let me know that others were hearing it, too.
But your husband and son are not waking up.
No, it's... When you're in the house, it's barely audible. But when you step outside to the garage, it's definitely louder. And when you go outside, it's amazing. I mean, it's like happening. It sounds like it's, you know, three blocks away. You know, this close, loud sound. It's eerie. And I'd sure like to know what's causing it, because I've racked my brain through all the theories I've heard both you, Linda, and George discuss, and none of them really fit to my... you know, my skeptical brain, but it's got to be something.
It's got to be one of them.
And your neighbors have not heard this either.
You know, I actually haven't asked my neighbors specifically, because they all think I'm nuts for staying up that late anyway. but I did post it on Facebook, and I had a lot of people write back. You know, a few have heard it. Others wanted to know what I heard. But these people are all around the world. You know, the Ukraine, Canada, Australia. I mean, they're all over the place, so...
It comes back to a major puzzle. Why does this seem to be an individual phenomenon more than a group or mass? And how is that happening? And then you come to the issue of a microwave with a carrier signal aimed at certain places could do that. But why? Why you? Why any of the individuals around the world who have heard these sounds?
It's a puzzlement. Let's go to Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello, Cornelius. Go ahead.
Hello, Linda and George. God bless you. Laissez le bon temps rouler. Let the good times roll. Mardi Gras just finished down here. I wish all of y'all could have come. But I was going to say, to me, I was telling Tommy, it sounds like male's hole a little bit, and either the sounds of Satan or the sounds of the saints, and I'll take my answer off the air.
I don't know if it sounds of Satan, Linda, but...
No, I don't. I know what he's saying is whether it's bad or good, light or dark, devil, angels. I mean, that's what he means. Are we dealing with any of those categories that are 180 degrees opposite? And I guess it's my nature to feel that the universe is more subtle than that, and that we might be moving toward a major transition, as Will Smith said that he feels like something is happening that is going to be transformative for all of humanity. And we certainly need transformation on this planet to get away from war and violence. And if that's what's going to occur in some kind of timeline or dimensional overlap, then maybe it's going to be a very good positive thing. I know that some people feel that when there are changes that they can't understand and can't control, that it might be something from a dark side. But that may be because humans still are such babies in the universe that we are really beginning only to scratch the surface about how this universe even works.
Okay, one or two more callers to go. Let's go to Randall in New York. Hey, Randall, welcome.
Hey, guys. Great show. I just wanted to point this out. No one seemed to mention this yet, so I'm just going to say it. The veil is lifting. It's 2012. Things are happening. We don't have to wait until December. We just have to open our eyes. Did you guys ever give any thought that maybe it has to do with the poles shifting, changing, random spots of the Earth suddenly shifting, the veil being lifted slowly, piece by piece?
Well, the pole shift issue, I think that it's important to put that into a physics perspective. The North Magnetic Pole drifts around all the time, and it's been moving toward sort of Siberia area because there's been an uplift of molten iron underneath the landmass over on the Russian side for quite some time, and at least the theory is that the magnetic pole moves and shifts with what is going on in the center of the Earth and magma flows, and this has happened so many times in the past. I mean, we have that measured in all kinds of things. But the idea that the North Pole and the South Pole change, literally, that the North Pole becomes the South Pole and the South Pole becomes the North Pole, that might happen in another 1,000 years, maybe a little less. That's not what is happening now. And so the idea that there would be anything from the common classical motion of the magnetic north, for example, it's been going on forever. And right now we're talking about a phenomenon that, at least, George, I'm not personally aware of anything being talked about, videotaped, and clearly it's because of iPhones more than anything else, and we didn't have iPhones much until the last 3 or 4 years. But there's something about this particular phenomena, the Kiev sounds to Norway, to the various ones, that I think as being a brand new event. Do you feel that from your perspective?
Well, it is, no doubt. I'm even trying to ascertain whether it could be some satellite that somebody's launched, and it's a test of some sort, too. I mean, anything's going through my mind on this one, Linda.
And how is it so personal, if sort of focused on certain people without others waking up or others in a bright, sunny day?
Hearing it. That's right.
Not hearing it.
Well, it's like the alien abduction phenomenon, that some people get picked up, others don't.
And in the abduction phenomena, it is so true that people can be, and this has happened, they've been on, say, the busy freeway coming out of Manhattan, going south into New Jersey on I-95, and that you and I both know that is full traffic, 24/7, 365. And yet the car is somehow, this is a real case, the car from that busy, busy freeway is somehow pulled over to the right, and the one passenger is taken out through the window, and the other four passengers are left in suspended animation.
That's right, and they don't even know what happened. Linda, thank you so much. Great program tonight. What a mystery. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, be safe, everyone.